Looking for inspiration, motivation, and transformation? Then you've come to the right place. Your host, Dustin Bain, is here to deliver massive content to you for massive change in your life. Now is the time to pop the clutch on your life and live an inspired life. Welcome to the Inspired Nation.
Hey gang, welcome back to another episode of the Inspired Nation podcast. As always, I am your host, Dr. Dustin Bain, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing a gentleman who I have been following on Facebook, not as a stalker, but as a fan of his mission of helping people reach their greatness. It's with great excitement that I would like to welcome to the show author of the incredible new book, The Eye of the Storm, Leading from Peace When All Hell is Breaking Loose, Brad Borkus. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much.
It's awesome to have you on the show. And just to kind of catch you up to speed as far as what the Inspired Nation is, it's essentially for people who are stuck in their stuff. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know what action steps to take. And I truly believe that we benefit most from hearing not of just only people's successes in life, but also the struggles and what it took to overcome them. So before we get too far into this awesome, epic interview, I want to ask you to kind of share, who are you? Who is Brad Borkus?
For sure, yeah. So basically you're saying your audience is people who have been exactly where we've all been, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's amazing. You know, so for my story, you know, kind of really resonating with that part is, you know, the philosophy I have now and the way in which I live now comes from, as it does for all of us, right? It comes from our experiences. It comes from what we've learned along the way. And, you know, I started my life in business. I grew up in business and, you know, I went off and I worked for Microsoft and I got an opportunity to come back to a family business. And so I come back to this family business and I come back in November and our December financial report, year-end financial report, shows a $700,000 loss.
Jeez.
And I go to my family, I says, well, you know, we're going to have to leverage some of our equity, right? And we're going to have to get some capital in here, some cash in here, so we can start turning this around. And they said, we don't have any equity left. And so it basically was flying a kite with no wind.
Yeah.
And extremely scary, extremely, you know, at the time I'm 24 years old. So I'm a 24-year-old CEO, wet behind the ears, not a lot of experience, tasked with this massive challenge. And I was stuck. I didn't know what to do. You know, I would stay up all night. I would worry. I just didn't know what to do. And so what I really found was, as I kind of did some reflecting, I said, well, we got to change and we got to do the little things right and do, you know, that's how we're going to change it step by step. And so that is where the birth of a lot of what I talk about came from. And we really turned this company around. In a year and a half, we found profitability. We did that through living through our values, identifying what were the most important guiding values to help this company get out of this this funk, get out of this hole. How are we going to do that? And which values were we going to follow? And then every day we followed them. We really just communicated based on these values. We everything we did was based on these values. And so that's really kind of where I gained a crux of my experience from the understanding of what the importance of values were. And from that standpoint, I also got a wonderful opportunity to be a head high school football coach. You know, I played football in high school. I got a beautiful, great scholarship to go to college. I was so blessed for that. And then I came back and I donated my time coaching as an offensive line coach. Well, then all of a sudden I got to be a head football coach. They asked me to take over a team. And when I stepped into this team, I saw a lot of dysfunction, a lot of just within the entire environment. And it's amazing, as I looked at it, it mirrored so much of my previous experience. I said, well, wait a second. Why can't I do this with the same way I did my business, the same way we did this team? And so we took this team and rebuilt this team and coached this team through based on values, and had amazing results there. You know, on the field, we were two-time region champions, made it to the semifinals of the state playoffs, as the second smallest school in the entire class. But on top of that, the more important part is we have kids that to this day, the parents are coming back and saying that fundamentally changed their direction in lives and really gave them that. And that's what really, it was really a true honor for myself. So that's really kind of got me to where I am. I was blessed enough. We actually sold the business a couple years ago. Somebody said, what are you going to do now? And I remember kind of, you talk about that stuck place, right? Again, kind of going, yeah. And I remember looking at him going, whatever I want. And so it was a blessing thing. But what I get to do now is, what is my purpose? You know, I built that business and I was able to do that and get through all them challenges. And that's what I do now, is I help people get through those challenges, through those very difficult times. And really, people always ask me, how do you have all these answers? And it's like, I don't. The people that I work with, the clients I have the answers. I just really help them mind frame it and understand what they have inside and which of those tools to use and leverage to get the results they want.
Sure. And you know, you hear it a lot in professional athletes, college athletes, when they get a new coach in, and he usually says, we have to change the culture. And
yep. It
sounds similar to what you kind of did there, you know, changing values. When you got together with that organization and with that football team, did you sit down individually with the players and with the employees, or was it like a board and be like, all right, here's the company values, we're all going to live by these? How did you do that?
Yeah, you know, what I found was, especially, you know, even at a company level, and at a team level, I think too many times we talk way too much. You know, right? We talk about these beautiful, great things. And so what I actually did is I went and I started doing. And so even though I made the initial statement, said, guys, this is what is going to guide us. This is what's going to be our ultimate values, and this is how we're going to ask and act, and this is how I expect you to act and how I expect myself to act. So obviously the most important thing there, right, is that I took the first step, that I started acting in that way. And so really, even though I did make the general statement, I didn't, you know, it wasn't so much the rah-rah, it was the fact that every interaction that we had was an opportunity for me to live my values and for me to live the team values and for me to help them see how they can live the team values. And so it really became very one-on-one in that standpoint. At the same time, there was that overarching kind of identification of what we're doing and why we're doing it. So, yeah, you know, and a good example, when you know, talk about turning the school around, when I went in to observe the kids in school before I took the job, I was kind of just walking around, and it was a private Catholic school, and I was just kind of observing, and I ended up talking, I was watching them in the lunchroom, and I ran up to one of the fathers, and I said, Monsignor, he said, what do you think? And I said, you know, we have a respect issue. And he goes, yeah, you know, kids nowadays. And I go, no. I says, I don't think the administration respects the kids. You know, you can't get it unless you give it. And that's one place where I really started most all the stuff I did is respected what they were and what they're doing and then tried to earn it. So.
Yeah, I know one of the philosophies that you talked about in the book was do right, be right, pay it forward. Can you kind of expand on that a little bit? What does that mean?
Absolutely. You know, that one actually has become now my personal living philosophy. And, you know, one of the greatest people I talk to about philosophy is Dr. Packerton Temple. I mean, he is epic when it comes to philosophy, right?
Absolutely.
And for myself, do right, be right, pay it forward is really a boil down of many, many years of a much longer philosophy. I remember the first time I kind of started thinking, I'm going to write out a personal philosophy. I think it was like 2.5 pages, you know, of all the things, you know, what I'd like to see in the world and all these things. And what I found was is that as I kept coming back to how I would handle this, it kind of came back to a little bit like of a, no, duh, just do the right thing. Okay, yeah. And then I could do it again and, well, in this situation, what should I do? Well, do the right thing. And so that's where the do right part of it comes. It is when you're faced with decisions, you know, your guts, you know what the right thing is. Again, there's going to be things where you're not informed yet enough or educated enough or you don't have the information yet, but you still know what the knowledge you have and to the experience you have, what is the right thing. Do that. You'll do wonderful. You'll make some mistakes, but you'll do wonderful doing that time and time and time again. And then the be right kind of goes back to that and says, over our, you know, years or months or whatever it is of doing right, you may find out that you made some mistakes, that with the information you had, you supported something that maybe as you got more information that was wrong. And it's important then to be right, to have the strength of character to maybe do a 180 and say, you know what, I was wrong. Doing right means going back to something else I was doing. And so many times we feel this ego that says, oh, I can't, now I have to admit I was wrong, I look stupid. No, you look much worse if you just don't do the right thing. And so that's the be right part of it. And then the pay it forward is, it's my favorite. It's just a wonderful opportunity to do the right thing just because it's the right thing for somebody who can give you nothing back, you're right, without really having that intention. And ironically enough, you know, as you do that, as you continue to pay it forward, whether it's karma, whether it's the way of the world, whether it's the universe, whether it's, you know, God speaking to you to do the right thing, his plan, it comes back to you. And, you know, ironically enough, I'm actually engaged because of that. you know, I've got a beautiful fiance in which, you know, we went on our first date, and the day after the first date, she texts me and she says, hey, this is going to sound really weird, but I have a sister who has a camp that they put on for kids with cancer. Would you be willing to be a volunteer counselor? You know, you come out of, just out of the blue, like, you know. And, you know, inside me, it's do the right thing. And, yeah, you want to help these kids. And, yeah, you want to help them kids have fun. And I asked, what do I have to do? You know, and she says, well, you just have to be a big kid. I'm like, okay, I can sign up for that. So I signed up. And, you know, we obviously our relationship developed wonderfully. And I'm engaged with this beautiful woman, a great person. And so it's an amazing reward when you just continually do that. And so, yeah, awesome. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, the pay it forward, I've heard it once, a mentor of mine said it, you cannot outgive the creator. So it's always,
yes,
just, it's always going to come back to you. No matter, don't think of it like that. It's like, just give. Eventually it's going to come back to you tenfold. So totally agree with that.
Yeah.
If you feel that values have the greatest impact in your life, why do you feel most people don't identify them?
You know what? I think the problem is because it's such an acute activity. You know, as we go through lives, values are a lot of times in our subconscious. They're in our core. And so I think the problem is as we live at a separate level of life. I mean, you think about, we go through the activities of a day, and how many things do we do that we do, I don't want to say mindless, but without a lot of thought going into it. We just kind of do them. And unfortunately, we get entrapped into a lot of times doing that over and over and over again. And as we look at values, we don't take the time to give ourselves enough silence. And because we don't give ourselves that silence to say, hey, what do we want? We don't ask those questions. You know, a lot of times we look at our values in the antithesis or the opposite of something else we see, right? When we see somebody do something, like, that's horrible. Or we, you know, instead of, you know, sometimes we see something great on Facebook and we say, hey, that's great. But we don't go to the point of articulation. And I think it's because just in life, we tend to live on that higher level instead of digging really deep. And, you know, you talk about, you know, with just your pot in the inspired name, I mean, inspired, right? That breeds a word that is something that is so tangible and tense. So many people don't get to that word of inspired. You know, like, how is your day going today? Oh, pretty good. No. Are you inspired to do what you do?
Mm-hmm.
And when you truly understand the word inspired, it takes you to an entirely different level. And so I think that's the thing, is that they just are so busy doing, they don't take the time to really dig deep. And that you have to take a pause in your life to do that.
So for the person who's sitting at home and never heard of this concept, where mm-hmm. would be the best place for them to start? I know there's books out there where it'll have like 18,000 words, and you're like, pick the top five values, and you're going, oh my God, how do I pick
yep.
five for me? What would be the best way for you to identify that for them?
You bet. If you're starting with, you know, you just want to say, you know, what are my, you know, my important values? Start thinking about what's important in your life. And the thing that's really, 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 really important here is that you have to dig deep, and you got to make sure you're not lying to yourself. That's the important here, and that's the crux part. When I teach people to pick their values, they need to pick them and own them. And so if money is the most important thing, you know, financial returns, car, if that is the most important, you gotta make sure you're okay with that. If traveling to the Bahamas is the most important thing, you gotta really own that. If donating your time in a civic way or something like that, or in a nonprofit is the most important thing, you've got to be very true to that. And you got to understand, every single choice that you make has an anti-sacrifice, right? If you pick that you want to live your life working in a nonprofit, you're going to probably find that opportunities to travel and cars and houses and things of certain things may not be there, right? And so you really have to be very honest with yourself and be okay with being yourself. So that's important. So really, you start making a list of the things that are most important to your life. you know, I know sometimes, a lot of times people love to put family, right? Family's most important, or what are the most important, or my faith, my, you know, God is most important. But you got to be honest with that. You know, if family is most important, that means that you make a conscious effort to call them, you know, once a week, once a day, once a, you know, you're going to talk to them all the time. You would drop everything you're doing that the second that they called and needed you to help come move. You know, it's all those little things where you have to be able to make sure you're very honest with it. So as you start kind of looking at that list and you write out a few of the things that are most important to you, you know, it's extremely important respect. I find respect extremely important thing. I find honor. I find faith. Whatever they are, just write them down and then look at them and really answer the question, why are they the most important? And what you're going to say is this, is start pitting them against each other. So if I came into something where my faith came in conflict with my income, which one are you going to choose? And give yourself scenarios you've either lived through or could live through. And how would you choose it? If you continue to choose one over the other, that just means that one has a higher priority in your statue of it. And that's okay. Just, you have to be okay with yourself and know what is the way that you live. And that's really the best solution to really get yourself an identity of what are your core values. And then the key right after that is live your life in accordance with those values. When you make decisions, when you're trying to figure out what the next thing to do is, really, really, really look at those values and act in accordance with them. You know, alignment with your values is just absolutely crucial. And that's where most people have their discontent, their frustrations, their angers, their unhappiness in life comes when they're not in alignment with them.
Yeah, and you talked a lot about in making things like almost unconscious, creating those values into habits. How do you suggest doing that?
Absolutely. You know, and that's the most important part. You know, one really cool activity I'll give for your listeners right now is this. I want you to think right now of three things. Let's actually take one thing you're grateful for in your life, right? Something, it could be your family, it could be your kids, it could be, and I want you to be very specific. If it's a memory, you know, it's that time when the family went out to the farm and we were riding horses and it was just, oh, it's peaceful and everything. Think of that right now. And as you've got that and you're thinking about what that is, right, just resonate on that, okay? Now, when you think about that time, think about how you're feeling right now. You know, you might be a little kind of laughing to yourself. You might feel just a peace and a calm. You know, that is an amazing, powerful thing that we did with just this one short exercise. So one of the things I teach all my clients to do is every morning you write down three things very specifically, three things you're grateful for. You know, there's times when we say when it's a beautiful day out, you say the weather. And what happens is if you have multiple beautiful days, you say the weather, or you say my job, or my family. But be specific. Say, I love it the way my fiance looks at my eyes and trusts me. You know, that might be what it is. And be very specific there. Give it that power. But every day you write three things and you think them out at the beginning of the day. And here's what it does. By doing those habits every day, right, it really reinforces the mechanism, right? The muscle memory of looking on the brighter side of things. If you start your day off thinking of three awesome things in your life, resonating on it and just, you know, savoring that for a couple minutes, imagine how that next thing you're going to encounter, right? We're going to encounter negative things in our day, bad things in our day. If you encounter that with that absolute positive beaming position, you're going to be much more resilient and not be in the dumps when the first negative thing happens. And so when you start understanding the values, what we really teach them to do is this. If you think of your values, and let's just say faith. If faith is one of your values, and faith can be many different things, but let's take the one in let's say Christian here, then faith would be going to church, right? Their habit would be going to church, it would be saying prayers, it would be doing, you know, the things that support that. If one of your values, and this is an important one I think sometimes people forget, if one of your values is health, you have to have the habits of eating the right foods, of exercising the right way, of, you know, of doing the things that support health. Too many times we talk about wanting, you know, health, being healthy is important. and then you look back at the activities and they just went to McDonald's or they didn't exercise for a week and going, you know, your habits don't speak to what your values are. So if you are going to make it your values, write down what are the activities that support that and do those every day.
Okay. Awesome. If I were to give you, I guess, a list of 5 key words, I want you to kind of rank these in importance and progression of why. So the words are philosophy, purpose, values, habits, and vision. How would you rank those?
That's awesome. So, you know, if I'm looking at that, it really comes from, if we're talking from a foundation up.
Yep.
And I'm going to say it that way. So I'm going to say that the first thing is your purpose. Your purpose is so fundamental to why you're going to do anything you're doing. It clarifies and it'll tie right into the end, you know, which the ultimate one is the vision. The vision is always something we always say is kind of out there, right? It's our goal. It's our long term, but that purpose ties right into that vision. The purpose is, you know, your vision is a million different parts of your purpose, living, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that, and then it's got to be philosophy, because until you understand how, you know, what does that purpose mean in your life? How are you going to handle it? How are you going to direct it? What are you going to do in all your actions? Your philosophy defines what your actions are going to be. You know, there's a great one. I think it's by Gandhi that says, you know, our thoughts become our words become our actions become our deeds, and our deeds become our legacy or something like that. And it's so important to understand that chain, that it is all connected. And then the third one you said was philosophy, purpose, and what was the third one again?
Values, habits, and vision.
There it goes. I write so fast that I couldn't. So I would say that, yeah, at that point, then I would say the values. And the reason is once you've identified your philosophy and that foundation, that broad, why am I doing what am I doing? What is the guiding light, the guiding energy, the guiding purpose there? Then all of a sudden the values. And that, what it does really is this: we're going from an understanding of purpose and an understanding of philosophy and foundation to really now creating some structure. And the values, because the values are very specific words. And a lot of times you'll see in your values and your philosophy, there's a lot of interchangeability, and you'll be kind of going back and forth with that. But the values now create the structure. And sometimes I'll say, you know, the steel to your building. You know, the values create that foundational structure, the pedestals that everything is set on. And so once you understand those values foundation, that's now you've got a solid foundation. If you really have those three locked in, that you're gonna have a habit, or you're gonna have a tendency at least to do the right thing and create more positive actions. You know, if you see your world in the way that you want to manifest it, the way in which that vision comes at the end, you're going to have a much more successful and much more higher probability of success. The next part is habits. And I'm going to say this even with a very big caveat that people have to understand: intentional habits. One of the things that happens is that if you don't have intentional habits, they tend to fade very quickly. Right. Mm-hmm. And if we just kind of do them, it's like, oh yeah, I did that for a week. Right. We've all done the week diet or the week workout or the week this. And it just fades. And so intentional habits, you really attach the value, cathartically. You know, you attach the value like through your heart, through your feelings to the what you're doing. So for example, one of the things that I truly, truly, truly believe is I will live to be 104 and a half. And I don't know why that, a couple years ago, that number came to me, and that's what I'm going to live to. And one of my values is health and living to 104 and a half, right? And a healthy life till 104 and a half. I intentionally have to say, to do that, I have to have the habit of eating like this, of exercising like this, of having peace like this, of managing stress like this. If I don't do these habits, you know, if I don't do these things, I won't be able to realize my value, my goals. And so by creating that intention of making that a I will do or I must do versus you know, I should do, you give it a lot more power to the habits. And that's kind of the strength there that really is powerful, is when you create intentional habits. You know, I will do this. And I always suggest when you're creating this process, start with one habit, right? We've got the rest of our lives to work on this. You know, you're in the perfect place. And one of the things I tell people is you are in the perfect place for where you need to be. The good Lord put us we are exactly where we need to be. If you take a positive step tomorrow, or the next step you take is positive and positive and positive, no matter where you're at, you're not failing. You just are where you're at. It's about taking a next positive step. So the habits are about taking forward habit steps. So that one, and then it all culminates in the vision. And so as you look at it from a foundational up, then the vision becomes, you know, that manifestation. Yet, like as we talked about, your purpose has to tie into your vision. So if you don't have an inkling of what you really want out of the world, kind of that, you know, even a nebulous feeling of what that vision looks like, you're going to struggle. So the purpose has to be tied, you know, directly to what that vision is going to be, what that dream is going to be. And so as you start defining it, though, once you've defined your purpose, your philosophy, your values, your habits, your vision becomes much, much clearer. And to be honest with you, that's where the success of my clients come from. Like I said, it's not me giving these magical answers. It's helping them get the clarity that they want and need to be able to see their vision. And then it's just taking the steps. You know, it's just, oh, I got to show up here. I got to do this. I got to be present for this. And that's what they do. So
yeah, I think with your ranking, I think it's Jack Canfield who says start with the end in mind. So you have to start with the vision and work backwards. But also, if that vision isn't congruent with your existing values, that's where people fall apart. I mean,
exactly.
In chiropractic, people, you know, you see all these young docs get out and they see these huge Mongolian practices. Like, man, I want to do that. But in them, the systems or whatever, however it's being done, isn't them. That's why you fall flat on your face and get frustrated. So I just heard that. I'm like, that just makes perfect sense right there. Totally. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. No, it's and like, and as we talking even earlier about a lot of this stuff, it transcends business life. You know, one of the things I teach about is I teach balance, and we focus on mind, body, spirit, relationships, and business in my coaching. And one of the things that's so extremely important is that you have to have balance in all of them. And if you don't, I mean, I'm it's funny. Some of my clients will joke that I'm such a stickler. Like, I have a client one time that I told him, I says, you have to go in next week, and your job, your responsibility for next week is to tell at least one joke a day. You know, and he's a father, so I said, make it a dad joke. You know, make it one of those silly dad jokes. But it's funny, until you create that balance in your life, you're not going to have pleasure. You know, those docs that see this you know, gargantuan client, right, saying 6,000 a week, that's what I want, right? And they don't realize there's sacrifices that they may not want in there,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so if that gets them out of balance in life, then all of a sudden their personal lives around them fall apart.
Yep, totally agree. How can people find you, reach you, contact you? What would be the best way for that?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. So if they wanted to read Eye of the Storm, go to leadingfrompeace.com. That has the order stuff for the book, and there's actually some extras on there. I did an interview with Dr. Packagen Temple, and we just talked philosophy for a half hour. You'll love that talk. I mean, it was just crazy. We just talked about that. I talked with Dr. Bob Rakowski out of Houston here, who is just a phenomenal energy and health and stuff like that. And so there's some links there. And then also, you know, if they want to just reach out to me, it's brad@epitomecoach.com. And they also can just give me a call. It's funny, my phone is an open line, and I love talking. I love talking what people want to do best in their lives. So give me a call at 701-240-7505. And it's funny, people always give me a kind of joke. They're like, you get out your personal number? I go, it's always good calls. So I love doing it.
There you go. Beautiful. So here we are. You have the ears and minds of literally thousands of listeners. What would you like to leave them with today?
You know, two things. The first thing is, you know, when they're feeling that stuck part, you're okay. Take a breath. You're okay. You're in a great spot. Even though it might not feel it right now, you're in a great spot. And the most important thing is, what is your next step? You know, as Dr. Dustin here talks about inspired nation, right? Take, you know, find out what it is that inspires you and take your next step inspired. you know, surround your values and all that stuff that entices, and do everything so inspired, you are going to do wonderful. And you know what? Reach out to people that can help you. I mean, people like myself that are offering any free, discussion if you have to walk through something. Reach out and ask people, and never be afraid of that. Never let your shame stop you from doing a good thing.
Love it. Thank you very much. I will continue stalking you on Facebook, so I appreciate that. And have an amazing day. Thank you very much, sir.
And likewise. Thank you so much, Dr. Dustin. And you guys have a great one. Inspired Nation, have an awesome day. Make it a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to The Inspired Nation with your host, Dr. Dustin Bain. For more information and past episodes, visit our website at www.inspirednationonline.com. We'll catch you next time.